It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
I mean, could you imagine a twin?
Paul Lavoie!
And there's an appropriate song for the July 4th holiday weekend coming up. Oh, sorry, Jim.
Yes.
Operator error.
Oh, yes.
Got to retrain me. It's Monday.
Uh-huh.
I've been aboard. I've run aboard for you before, so you know how it is.
Yes, that's right. We expect a little learning curve.
Hey, I'm a pretty good sound man.
You are indeed.
Thank you.
A combination host, sound man. Doesn't get better. Musician, drummer.
Yeah, but the drummer part makes me a little loud, right? No, you know, the one thing about being a sound man that you know more than anybody probably in this room is you can never, ever, ever make anybody happy.
Oh, no.
Or everybody happy.
Yeah, too loud for some, not loud enough for others.
But the one that bothers me the most is when they mix from the headphones and they're in a house full of 3 or 4 or 5,000 people, or even 10,000, and they're mixing from headphones, and they're it's called walking the room,
mm-hmm.
you know, which you do,
and they aren't. Yeah,
I do it constantly. I don't even get on the headphones,
mm-hmm.
you know. And anyway, that drives me crazy. Welcome to Speak Out, everybody. It's Monday, June 29th, 2026. And you know what that means, right?
It means July is right around the corner.
It means Billings tomorrow morning. I'm being a smart aleck. Anyway, July is right around the corner. And, you know, there's a really interesting topic while we wait for Regina Cobb to call. Regina's going to call. She's the former, check this, I have this saved in my phone. You know what legislative district we are now, right?
Yes.
30.
Yes.
Well, I have her saved as LD5.
Oh, my.
No, that's how long ago it was. Yes,
a few revisions.
Yeah, LD5. So, anyway, what was I saying? It should be, now, I knew somebody in the past that I worked for that was born on July 2nd, and her husband was born on July 4th. That was his birthday.
Uh-huh.
July 2nd should be our nation's birthday.
Is that a personal opinion?
No, it's historical.
Really?
Technically, because 12 of the 13 colonies signed, or representatives from them, signed the Declaration of Independence on mm-hmm. July 2nd.
Oh, my.
New York didn't get the approval, and then they signed on the 4th, and that's why it's July 4th.
Well.
Yeah, but they didn't have the approval from their state, whatever, the Commonwealth, or I think, I'm not sure if New York's a Commonwealth or not.
Oh.
I know Massachusetts is. So anyway, yeah, it could have been on July 2nd, but it's not. They wanted unanimous approval from the, or an okay from the colonies. And then the big stuff happened. The king got word of it, and all of them had death warrants for treason. So to sign that document was putting your life on the line. Think about that, folks.
Yeah.
I mean, really, think about that. So anyway, how was your weekend?
Went to visit friends in Tucson. Very pleasant.
Tucson?
Yeah.
Tucson?
Yes.
Nice. What do you think of this weather?
I'm very pleased with it today. How nice. God.
Oh, man. We haven't even, I don't think we've hit 115 yet officially. You know? And now I'm bringing it on, right?
Yeah.
No, but by
it's a death now.
By Saturday, they're talking 107, maybe 108 in Havasu?
Yeah. You know, I was just thinking how ridiculous that would sound to the rest of the country.
Or last year's event, the Fire on the Water event that you had last year. I hate to bring it up.
Yeah, uh-huh. It was rather warm.
It was like 115.
Yep.
If I remember right. And then, some of those guys like Swamp Donkey, they got to play in it.
Yeah. Only for a large number of hours.
Whew, that would be rough. That would be a rough gig. I did Concerts in the Park way back in the day when it was in July.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the Pearl Bay Showmobile, mm-hmm. which is owned by
DSM.
That's right. DSM Events owns it now. So, yeah, we played that event in July, the old band.
Uh-huh.
Holy cow, that was warm.
Yes.
I felt like Muhammad Ali when you see the footage from the Thrill in Manila. And that, and it's pouring just for hours on it. In uh-huh. 2 hours, it was like pouring sweat. I couldn't get enough water. So, yeah, we're going to talk to Regina Cobb, and then she's going to call in. And then Taylor Harrison is scheduled to be here at 11:30.
Good.
So that'll be his second time on, uh-huh. Running for city council. Taylor's a candidate, business owner in the area. Do you know him?
Yes. We have the pleasure of working with him. We work with him in his position as co-president or co-chairman of the Balloon Festival, amongst other things. So, yeah, we've have the pleasure of working with him.
It just occurred to me I better call Regina because my phone's on Do Not Disturb. So let's see if we can get a hold of her.
A small technical glitch.
Right. And
good morning.
Hey, good morning. Regina Cobb, how are you?
I am good. How are you?
Good. It just occurred to me that my phone's on Do Not Disturb. So I don't know if you tried to call or not. But
No. I figured you would call me when you were ready.
Is this a good time then?
This is good. Yeah.
Sounds like you're in the room with us.
Yes, very good.
It's a very, very good connection. So recently we had a show that Mike Canusio was on, candidate for LD30 state representative, and you had some exceptions with some of his claims.
I did. I could say over the last couple of months, I've been hearing that my name has been dropped several times, and actually people have taped him, I guess, at different functions, and him saying that he's been working with me on water.
Oh.
And so that I didn't have an issue with. I'm like, I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
But the June 19th one was sent to me from about a half a dozen people, and it was they were a little concerned because especially when he said that he had worked with me on water and then he was a whistleblower, and those were probably the two things that I had concerns with. And one was that I had only met with him one time.
Mm-hmm.
And he came into my office as a constituent and said he was going to be going over and speaking on a bill. And I can't even remember what bill it was. And I think I met with him for about 15 minutes. And that was it. In 8 years that I had been in office, that was the first time. And I could say that probably weekly, if not a couple of times a week, Travis Lingenfelter, Supervisor Lingenfelter, and Supervisor Holly Irwin, I had been working on issues with water with them. And during our session, they were down there regularly. I was talking with them on the phones. I was, you know, I had a lot of conversations. And that's what I consider working with somebody on water issues. The thing about the whistleblower that I had concerns with was that he made it seem, and maybe it wasn't what he meant to do, but he made it seem like his letter of concern that he sent in to AG Mays was the thing that clicked him over to where they started investigating on Fondamonte's farm. And I can tell you that Holly Irwin's been working on that issue since 2015. I met with her in 2016 in La Paz County at the farm. She showed me what was going on, We had worked through the Ducey administration. Not a lot of action happened during the Ducey administration. But then she continued on and worked with Attorney General Mace, and that has been going ongoing for a long time. So a recent letter of concern is not a whistleblower when someone's been working on this for 8 years now, 10 years now, it has been working on this issue. So those were my two concerns. Like I said, I don't know what else he's testified on, but as far as I know, there was the one bill that he came into my office and asked me to meet with him as a constituent, and I met with him. And that was the only conversation we've ever had about water. And I understand that he's used my name with endorsements. Some of the people that the groups he's trying to get endorsements from have come to me and said, I understand you worked with him on, I had to tell him no, I didn't work with him on issues. He might have testified on water issues, but it wasn't with me. So those were my concerns. My other concern is that when he did meet with me, he did tell me that he was concerned about the water transfers, fourth priority water transfers is what I had a bill going on at the time, but he did tell me he was a big supporter of Gail Griffin at mm-hmm. the time. And I know she's got a couple of bills out there that would be just absolutely detrimental to Mojave County.
I was going to ask you, tell us about Gail Griffin. What is the, I guess there was a some legislation that she supports that, did you say commoditizing. Yeah. What is commoditizing?
Yeah. Well, it'll make it a commodity, just like any other commodity that you have, grains or silver or gold or those kind of things. It'll make water a commodity at that point. Right now, one of the bills that she had been pushing over the last couple of years was one to grant a certificate of groundwater rights to large-scale pumpers. I call these corporate mega farmers. That would be like, I can name a few of them. Fondamontes is one of them. You know, one of them that's over pumping. I think Peacock Farms is another one. You have some really good stewards of water that are farmers, especially in Mojave County. I think Stockton Hill Farms is a good one, who has like crops that are low volume water users. But there are some that are pecan farmers, and obviously hay and alfalfa are high water users, and they actually would be rewarded for doing rapid drawdowns and locking in massive water uses. And this would give them a legal entitlement to those uses because they did overdraw. So that's one. Another one is that she has a temporary certificate, a transferable certificate, which essentially gives private entities ownership over rural water still in the ground, allowing the certificate holders to lease or sell part of it. And this would essentially leave metropolitan areas like Kingman, Havasu, Bullhead City. Those areas would be in trouble because those are the taxpayers are going to be paying for that water at that point. So I think either one of these bills is harmful to rural Arizona, whether it be La Paz, Mojave County, Wickenburg. Those areas are all going to suffer because of those.
Again, we're talking with former LD5 State Representative Regina Cobb. I was a little surprised to see that, actually, Regina, that it was LD5 back then.
It was, yeah.
Kingman's in a similar situation water-wise, though. If you don't watch your water, that aquifer is in a big danger of drying up, isn't it?
It is. The Lualapai Basin is one of those basins that we've done some hydrological studies. The USDA has done hydrological study. Actually, I think when Supervisor Lingenfelter was vice mayor of the city of Kingman, is when those studies started, and then they were completed, I think, after he was a supervisor, and we were able to utilize those studies actually in a study committee that I had. And it was showing drawdowns without recharging in the Hualapai Basin. Mm-hmm. And that was significant. But then later on, they did, it's a static study, so it could be one that, it's static at the moment, but it could be dynamic, which means that you could take that study and watch it over 12 months, and it can be dynamic, and you can kind of predict what's going to happen. But what we didn't predict is that we were going to have a large pecan farmer northeast Kingman, right out of the industrial park area, that really does take a lot of water use. Well, when they did that second study, when ADWR did a second study, they looked at that area, and it was a significant drawdown from what the original study showed us.
Okay. You spent 8 years in office as a representative. You were, let me see, the big committee you were on was appropriations, right?
I was chairman of appropriations for the last 4 years I was in office, yes.
Yeah, that's a big one. Do you miss it?
Sometimes I do. When they're in the middle of the night, you know, voting, I don't miss that, because as appropriations chair, all those bills used to have to be in my name. I would have to stand up and speak on all of them all night long.
Oh.
So I don't miss that kind of thing, but I do miss the interaction. I think when you work on bills, mm-hmm. When they talk about the sausage making, I miss all of that.
Oh.
I think that's good. But I'm the executive director of the Dental Association now. So I represent them as a lobbyist, so I get to go down there and still have my hands in politics.
Nice.
This is Jim, the co-host. I have a question for you based on my lack of understanding of this water problems. Is there no limitation or ability to limit these giant farmers? Is that what the core of the problem is, to limit
that
their
is.
Consumption? So is
yes.
Are the practical...
Jim, you're absolutely right. And right now we have a, what we call an irrigation non-expansion area in the Hualapai Basin, which limits future farmers from drawing down that aquifer. But the ones that are in there now can pretty much go at any limit they want to at this point.
So there's really likely no practical way to place limits or controls.
So what you're saying, are you saying they're grandfathered in?
Well, they are at the moment. They are at the moment. They're not completely grandfathered in like what the certificate of ownership would be.
Mm-hmm.
They are right now, we're stalled out for any new person to come in. The people that are there that have already started what they've started, and if they actually had fences around their property and had the pumps already in, they're already grandfathered in. And unless you go into an active management area, or what I was trying to do was to try to do a rural management area, and what it would have done was limit how much water they could use, and it would also put restrictions on whether or not it was coming from, if we're using, like what's happening now with some of the farmers,
mm-hmm.
is they're utilizing our water and shipping it over to Saudi Arabia, that, hey, so they're really... taking our water for their own use.
So except for Leo Biasucci, who will be our next senator, because there is no opposition from the Democrats,
right.
We'll have two new state representatives from Legislative District 30. Are you satisfied with their knowledge of state water law and water rights and transfers to Maricopa County?
I am not. And when I hear the talking points, because like I said, I've had people send me videos of their debates.
The forums.
And I feel like, especially if they're saying, like Mike was saying, that he's an expert in this area, I don't feel he is. I think he's a rancher, and I think he knows what ranchers, the water on ranching knows, but I don't, not that he can't get up to it. I think he can. I know that Grace Heck has met with me several times and tried to get more knowledge about water so that she can be knowledgeable if she ended up getting in there. She's the only one so far that has reached out to me out of all the candidates.
Wow, interesting. Yeah. So, wow. Well, it's good to know that you are back in your chosen profession. So,
thank you.
Or involved with that anyway. And a little bit of back history, folks. I'm a Rancho High School graduate out of Las Vegas, and you actually went to Chaparral High School in Las Vegas.
So
we're kind of natural rivals in a sense.
We're kind of natural. Yeah, we are.
The Cowboys and the Rams. So anyway.
We're the Cowboys and the Rams. Yeah.
That's right. Anyway, we appreciate you, being available for Speak Out this morning. And best of luck, Regina Kopp. Thank you.
Absolutely. Paul and Jim, thank you so
thank
much
you.
For having me on.
All right. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Thank
Talk
you.
Talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. So
that's interesting.
You have a better understanding.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, what a terrible problem.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like I don't envy the people that have to try to solve these kind of problems.
Yeah. We're in the desert.
Good heavens.
Right. That's a tough one. It is a tough one. All right. We're going to take it to our first break of the hour. I'm Paul Lavoie, along with Brother Jim Russell from DSM Events. And it was definitely an enlightening conversation.
Yes, yes, it was indeed.
Especially, I wasn't expecting that last answer from her.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Uh-huh.
Wow, really?
Yeah, wow.
You might find that on a future newscast, folks. All right. Taylor Harrison up next. Hopefully he's here. Candidate for Lake Havasu City Council. Taylor's been with us before. We're kind of keeping this second round of interviews a little bit more casual.
Uh-huh.
Kind of, you know, hopefully they loosen up a little bit, right? All right, back with more in a moment. Take on some Uncle Cracker as we go more closer and closer and closer to Saturday's America 250 celebrations.
Coming
Pretty
up.
Cool. How would you like to have promoted that octagon on the White House lawn? What do you think about it? That's wild.
Yes.
Dana White's got the president here, apparently, right?
Seems like it.
All right, back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. All right. I don't know what's going on off the behind the scenes.
Yeah, we're in a secret conversation.
Do I really need to know as the host?
No,
I'm kidding.
No.
Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. TWN Fiber Internet, also by Salmon's Air Conditioning. Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. And, boy, nobody wants to go into this mind. The mind of Dallas Finch.
My.
Who wants to go there, right? Booby Falls Restaurant and Rodeo, great pizza, sandwiches, and salads, home to the Booby Dropper, Main Street, Havasu. Did you see that chocolate chip thing I had?
Yes,
the first
I did.
There?
Not only did I see it, I coveted it.
One of the local pizza places has a chocolate chip cookie. It's cut like a pizza.
Right on.
I'm pretty sure you know what I'm talking about, right?
And shaped and sized like a pizza.
And yeah. Sized like a pizza.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, a small pizza.
But there's three pieces in there. We could easily pull that out.
What are you going to have, though?
That's right. Exactly. No, what are you going to have? All right, welcome back to Speak Out, everybody. Broadcasting live from the Speak Out Kitchen with No Sink. Taylor Harrison is here.
How we doing, Paul? Jim?
Good. How are you?
Very well.
Candidate for Lake Havasu City Council. We're going to keep it a little bit light this time, right?
Sounds good.
We're not going to talk about crashing your dad's wedding or anything like that, right? I was invited, just not by him.
Oh, okay. See? I didn't make the actual marriage ceremony.
You remember that, right?
No, man.
No? That was over at Crazy Horse.
Okay. See, I was there.
I sang Tennessee Whiskey.
Okay.
Yeah.
That should have been memorable. Why don't I remember?
That's funny. Should have been. Right, exactly. So we've talked a little bit. How is it going on the campaign trail, by the way?
It's good, you know. We're coming to a close. I think we got, 3 weeks left, and early voting going on and everything, but it's going good. It's really cool to see the progression and evolution of everything, and I look forward to July 21st.
You know what I really want to ask everybody this next go-around on this set of questions is about social media. What's your tense so explosive about it? What's your take on social media? How does it affect your campaign? How much time do you spend on social media?
You know what's really funny? I just had a conversation with a customer about social media and how online can be such a great resource, and it can be a very difficult resource, too. You can get a lot of good information, and you can get a lot of bad information from it, and it's really hard to dissect that. So truly, that's probably the biggest part of my campaign is to educate people. I've made a point to be the candidate that's in the rooms, in the meetings, and I don't think there's any better way to prepare yourself for a role like this than to be in the meetings and actually know what's being said, what's going on, instead of just, you know, looking at social media. So, you know, it has its pros and it has its cons, and it does make things difficult. And of course, then you see fake profiles and nonsense posts. And what people don't realize in this, too, it's not just the candidate, right? So I've learned some things about myself that aren't true, and I read something on Facebook, and I'm like, oh, interesting. I didn't know that about myself. 34 years, and I just figured it out. But it's not just the candidates, too. So I come home, and my family is saying, hey, Taylor, did you see this? And it's just hard, and so I got to give it up for all the candidates out there. You know, it's hard running, and it affects your families, and I just want everyone to know that, too. It's not just the candidate. Fortunately, my family's all, you know, along for it, but, you know, it's hard coming home and saying, oh, did you see this on social media or whatever? And I say, hey, just ignore it. It's, you know.
How old is your youngest?
Sammy is 16 months old.
Named after his grandfather?
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's cool. Yep. That's really cool. Do you see any difficulties? I asked one of the LD30 state rep candidates this as well. Having a younger one, maybe having to travel, you know, to Phoenix or to other places. There are cities and towns also, right, if you're elected to city council. Do you see any kind of conflicts having a young one at home?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question. I get that question, too, just because of how involved I am with, you know, executive director of Bloomfest, Rotary Board, Builders Association Board, and all the things I'm doing. People ask, well, how are you going to have time for city council? And I think the best answer is I'm already used to this. I've been attending these meetings and everything for years. This is nothing new to me. I decided I was going to run 6 years ago, so I didn't just start attending meetings when I pulled my packet. So my family knows that this has been something I was going to do. My family's used to me going to the meetings. Now, I'm not going to say it's not difficult. Like, there have been city council meetings where I've had to, you know, I've showed up there with my son and I've passed him off to grandma in the city council chamber parking lot, right? And you know, there's difficulties there, but I'm also used to the traveling aspect. My business has four stores, Kingman, Bullhead, Havasu, and all the way down in Yuma.
Oh, geez.
And
wow.
So I already do these things. So now, is it easy? No. Is it difficult? Sure. But I am used to it, I guess.
But this has got to be a great deal of thankless work. Aside from the irritation of social media and things, why do you want to do it?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I decided this 6 years ago, so I mentioned all my involvement. But really the catalyst for me doing this, I would say being involved has really given me an appreciation for the people that continue to serve our community. And I'm blessed to live in that community with these people. And I said in a video recently that the best part of Havasu is the people. The second best part of Havasu is the lake, right? And so you ask, you know, why I decided to do it. Well, 6 years ago, my Rotary Club sponsored my membership to Leadership Lake Havasu. And that was the COVID year. We didn't actually get to have our events that year. During that year, what Leadership Lake Havasu is, you get to go through local businesses and everything. But one of the days, they had a city day. And so they had a mock city council meeting. And that day, I was a city council member, quote unquote. And so I sat in that role. And I thought way back then, I said, you know what? Someday, I'm going to do this. And so I knew since then that I was going to do it, and I continued my boards and increased roles. But it wasn't until I had my son Sammy that I decided, okay, now I have my family and I can do it, because I could already see Havasphere from the lens of high school graduate, college graduate, business owner, community advocate, but now I get to see it from the lens of a father too. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like I'm even more prepared, if that makes sense.
All right.
Okay. Preparing for it for 6 years. Right. That's quite, so quite an accomplishment.
I want to talk about business recruitment into the city, like a partnership for economic development.
Yeah.
You and I had a pretty good conversation recently. I was really kind of enlightened. I thought, okay, now here's a business, Chick-fil-A, for example.
Yeah.
What a great fit for Lake Havasu City, I thought, right? How does PED, are you on that board?
I'm not on the PED board.
You're not on
board.
The board. But you know how the sausage is made, right?
Yeah, so.
How do they go about recruiting something like a Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, so like I said, I've made a point to be in the meetings and stuff. So I've had multiple meetings with James Gray with the PED through the course of this election. And we kind of went over kind of some of the things that they're bringing to the table. And there's things that he can't say just for sake of, like, businesses not wanting, mm-hmm. you know, it
I
out
think
there,
it's
right?
more sure, for the business not wanting it out there,
it
right?
It is, yeah. Well, yeah.
Why would they want another business to know their expansion strategy?
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, he's kind of bound by some of those constraints, right? Mm-hmm. But how do they go about it? Well, there's certain things. Like, if you hear James talk, he's talking a lot about the Opportunity Zone right now, which gives favorable tax considerations to businesses willing to invest in those areas.
What's an opportunity zone? Is that new?
No, it's been around for a while. In fact, it's actually expiring because this is something that isn't decided locally. It's decided from higher up, state level and everything. And mm-hmm. so James, in fact, has tried to get them to extend it. And they said, hey, you guys have done really well with this. And for that reason, we're not extending it. It's actually done what it's needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's helped. But really kind of coming up with some of these favorable ideas and really kind of outreach to talk to these organizations and say, hey, here's kind of what Havasu can do. And I think from a business owner standpoint myself, I like places that just make it easy to do business.
Sure.
Right? If I have to jump through a ton of hoops, like if I'm 8 hours away, 12 hours away, whatever, and I'm thinking about investing in Havasu, I want it to be a pretty easy process. I don't want to have to jump through millions of hoops. Now, I understand, you know, there's things that you need, you know, insurance, business license, all those things that all businesses are required to do. But just making it easier for businesses to expand and helps. And the PED is essentially that function.
I've understood that Nevada may be one of those states where we all think of California as being burdensome with regulations. But I think of Nevada that way recently, too. I've heard that from people.
I've heard that, and it's interesting because that would be the next evolution of our business to expand
really?
Into the Henderson area. So I guess in about a year or two from now, I can tell you all about that. But
our phone line's open, 854 KNTR 854-5687, area code 928. Of course, Jim, you have a question for Taylor Henderson?
Yes, I do. With the campaigns and things, I learned from our newspaper and this process that we have a 1% growth.
It's actually slightly less than that. I think it's
0.7%. That strikes me as alarming. Is it?
Is that 6,000 per year?
Well, at 1%, it would be that. It's 0.7% if you Google it.
Okay.
Yeah, that strikes me as alarming. But maybe just because been here forever, and it used to be giant numbers. I don't even know what, but less than 1% sounds frightening.
You know, it's funny, Jim, because depending on who you ask, that's either alarming or wonderful, right?
Yes.
you talk to a lot of folks in Havasu, and they don't want it to grow.
Of course. Not in my backyard.
Right. Now, quite frankly, though, the vast majority of us have chose to move here.
Yes. Nothing grows in your backyard.
Just saying.
He's a crystal pea.
Oh, no, I know where
and rattlesnakes.
That's funny. My lady said she wouldn't mind moving to Crystal Beach, but
Crystal Beach is Havasu 30 years ago.
Right. Yeah. But to your point, I don't know that it's alarming, and here's why I say that. And you're right. It's less than national average, it's less than the Arizona average.
My.
The communities that are growing at the fastest rate are what I would call like bedside communities. Like you have Queen Creek outside of Phoenix.
Yes.
And all those communities outside of Phoenix naturally are going to grow faster because they can use the amenities of the big cities that they're close to and then grow at their own pace, but it turns out to be faster because they already have those things there. Havasu's an island. We've got nothing around us. And so, you know, what we have in our city is what we have in our city, and we're kind of bound by how much we can grow. I'm probably getting... It's over 90% that Havasu City Limits is built out. There's not many available lots left to build on even.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're constrained by those couple things. I wouldn't be as alarmed by that, though, because the growth rate refers to residents that live here permanently.
Ah.
Now, that doesn't include second homes and stuff like that. And that's the unique part of Havasu is we do have a lot of second homes and a lot of maybe half-year residents that are the snowbirds. So it's hard for the growth rate to quantify that specifically. Like, even snowbirds, they might call Wisconsin home, which is where I'm from, they might call Wisconsin home even if they spend 6 months and 1 day here. This should technically be their home, but they might not classify it as such.
And are those residents... uniquely beneficial to our local economy? Did, you know, I mean, they pay taxes the same as if they were full-time residents and so forth. Does it all shake out that that's better than a full-time?
I think there's a double-edged sword there. So I think, yes, I mean, they pay the same taxes. They still pay for, you know, water, and that, and that helps support infrastructure, which is very needed right now. So they do support those things, but much to the chagrin of Paul over here, without that full-time population, maybe that makes it harder for some businesses like to invest, like Chick-fil-A, although I do think Chick-fil-A should certainly be on the table for a population of 6,000.
I think it's a perfect fit. I think Whole Foods is, too.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, I did some research over the weekend, and our average median income is over 71,000.
Yes.
I'm like, what? So, I mean, that's Whole Foods territory right there. They love that. They're up in Summerlin, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So, all right, we're going to take a short break. We'll have about maybe nine minutes when we come back, maybe seven, I don't know. Anyway, we're with Taylor Harrison. He is a candidate for Lake Havasu City Council. And you can call in at 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR, or you can text us at 928-727-5566. I'll tell you what, on Common Ground tomorrow morning, a great topic, national pride, and socialism versus communism, or socialism versus capitalism. Sorry. There's so many socialist candidates getting through lately in the Democrat Party, you know? So they kind of want to talk about that, see if they can find some common ground between socialists and capitalists. Holy cow. Anyway, back with more in a moment. Little Gary Allen as we go out watching airplanes. In flight. Little Montgomery Gentry, my opinion, we don't hear enough Montgomery Gentry lately, do we?
No, some of that 90s country is just not being played.
Oh, we play it, so we definitely play 90s country. Need to add some Montgomery Gentry to that, absolutely. And Speak Out brought to you in part by The Chair, also Laughlin Ranch by Mojave College, Shooter's Outpost by Solar Power by Esme Electric, Dorita's Place, Legacy Rehab and Care in Bullhead City, and by A&B Propane. And don't forget, it's buy local or...
lose local.
Buy local.
Oh, that too. And what wise people to spend their advertising dollars with us.
Yes, yes. I've been told that.
Yeah. But they're smart people.
All right.
Speaking of smart people, I've got another question.
He's
for
pretty
our smart person. Yes.
Yeah.
To go back to that 1% growth, which obviously continues to alarm me, you seem to have a good handle on that. How does that compare to our local other communities like Kingman and Bullhead?
Yeah. So I've heard some people, in fact, some other candidates that have used the phrase, Bullhead and Kingman are leaving us in the dust. And quite frankly, I don't think that's the truth. Right? There are some things that... now, don't get it wrong. Havasu is a very unique community. We are very tourist-driven. Nobody goes... Well, not nobody, but very few people go to Kingman to be tourists. And if they do, they're likely stopping there for the Grand Canyon or something
or
like that.
Or gasoline.
Right? Yeah, yeah. So Kingman could grow in a unique manner. It's on the 40. It's you know, relatively close to Las Vegas. So Kingman can grow at more of an industrial pace. It's right there off the railroad, too. So it has favorable conditions for warehousing and applications like that.
Distribution. For sure.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And Havasu doesn't have those things, but Havasu can grow in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
Bullhead's another different example, and I would say, I mean, I frequent these other cities,
yes.
And it doesn't take long. You drive through Bullhead City and take a drive through Havasu, and you can just Havasu's a better kept city, and I think that's partly because we're so reliant on tourism, and we have our housing values and everything are better in that regard. So, are we going to grow as fast industrial? No, but we can grow in other ways that make good sense for Lake Havasu.
Okay.
We have a question from the text line 928-727-5566, and make this text and talk radio, not just listen radio. What does Taylor think about the city using bonds for major improvements and projects?
So one that comes to mind, and really, well, let me preface it by saying this. Bonds should be approved by voters, and we should really take that into account because that's extra money from the community that, you know, can't just unilaterally say we're going to do this. So,
right.
Now, in some cases, maybe something like that's needed. So I've heard that maybe it's needed in the future for water. But another one this is a pretty dicey topic, but one of the big things in my campaign is shoreline preservation. I think we should all have access to our shorelines. And there are some provisions written in with easements and stuff like that to certain properties. And the general plan being proposed is actually very intentional on keeping those shorelines, or accessible anyhow. But there are properties. Let's say Body Beach, for example, is one. Well, if that ever comes up to auction, it's for sale. And so for the city to buy it, do we just take that out of the budget, or would there be a bond that would be passed that the residents of Lake Havasu would say, hey, you know what, we support purchasing this to keep it as city land. And so I think there are important considerations there. But again, it has to fall on the will of the people, not just
you bring up a good point with the nautical land auction that happened recently that was picked up and is now going to be the waterfront or just waterfront development. Does the city, I think you just answered my question. Does the city get involved in the auction process and make a bid no matter what?
Essentially, they would just be another bidder.
But don't they set a bar that says, look, just because you bid on this property doesn't mean we're going to change the zoning automatically.
No.
For example.
No. The property would get purchased, and then it would have to go for a zoning change. There's not like a, hey, if you buy this property, yes, we'll change it. There isn't that. There's not that.
Okay.
So, the city could buy a piece of property, but it's no different than a developer purchasing.
I guess what my question is once there's the auction is announced, does the city get involved and say, okay, we are going to place a bid, and we are going to put that in front of the council?
I haven't seen that be the case so far. Again, I haven't served, so I could be I could be speaking to something that's not true. I haven't seen it though personally, and maybe it should be the case. Well, Body Beach is a great example. Everyone I've talked to so far in this campaign wants to preserve that for our community.
Everybody, as far as residents,
just everyone I've talked to
right.
Throughout this process, and which would be residents, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's take the last minute or so and tell everybody why they should vote for Taylor Harrison for city council.
Yeah. This is the best question of all of them, Paul. Thanks.
easiest anyway, right?
So I decided 6 years ago I was going to run for council when I went through the Leadership Lake Havasu process, and we had a mock city council day. And it was then 6 years ago that I decided I was going to do this. This wasn't a decision just decided the other day or that I pulled a packet rather. My community involvement stems a long time ago. In fact, Jim over here helps us with the Balloon Festival, and one of the executive directors for the Balloon Festival, among other things. So really what I would say is You're voting for somebody who's truly passionate about our city. I'm not running with any agendas. I'm not running to change anything. I'm just running to continue serving our community. And I think this next role is a great opportunity for me to do that. And so, basically, I'm just passionate about our community and with no agendas.
How refreshing.
Yeah? All right.
Very good.
Jim's excited.
Yes.
All right. Taylor, thanks for being here. We really appreciate you. And I appreciate you being here. And early voting is going on now, folks. I don't know how you feel about that, but I vote on Election Day.
Me too.
You never know what you're going to find out about people between now and then, right?
I did find out. My lady does the early voting. I found out my name's the one at the top of the ballot, but I'm waiting until July 21st to cast my vote.
How did that happen? Is it alphabetical?
No, it's not even. I have no idea how it happened.
Huh.
It's not alphabetical, though.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. All right.
Maybe it was put there 6 years ago.
And no, contrary to popular belief, I am not putting out a golden ticket like everybody else has. Have you seen this? Oh, my goodness. All right. Jim and I will come back in a moment.
Yes.
And we're going to take a short break first. Taylor, good luck in the election.
Thanks, Paul.
All right,
Thanks,
Jim. You're welcome.
Thank you.
So every once in a while, Jim, I get harassed by my own production assistant.
No.
To check my texts, right? On this date in 1974, believe it or not, Neil Peart replaces John Rutsey as the new drummer for Rush. And now they've got Annika Stiles? Can't remember her last name. Anyway, she's German. She's phenomenal. And she is the female version of Neil Peart. I will say it. She's very, very good. Who's on tomorrow's show? Do you know? She does it. All right. Look for it online, folks. Check our Facebook page. We got to go. Hannity's up next.
This is KNTR Talk, KJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.